Okay, so the Bible reading today is from John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son.
Well, let me say, what an amazing night it's been already, hasn't it? And we've been singing about God's amazing grace. And when you hear the stories, I don't know about you, but sometimes you connect with something someone has said and you feel emotional. Hopefully some of you feel emotional at some part of that. And we've sung about coming to the altar, coming to Christ and finding new life. And all of this may be completely outside your experience. It might be completely new. Maybe it's the first time you've come here. But we believe that there is a God who changes lives. We believe there is a God who loves us deeply and can take us and remake us to be the best people we can possibly be. A number of years ago, I was at Peakhurst High School. It was a Year 10 seminar. And we were running a seminar there, and we brought in a couple of people from a ministry to prisons. And there were two guys up the front who spoke to tell their story. And it's interesting watching Year 10s, right? 15, 16-year-olds listening, thinking, I wonder what they're going to tell us in this religious stuff today. All of a sudden, a guy stood up and said, I've just spent 5 years in jail. He didn't tell us exactly why, but I want to tell you that in jail, I met Jesus. He forgave me and he made me a new person. All of a sudden, people are listening. And the other guy got up and told a similar story. And then they spoke for a couple of hours on the whole idea of the problem with drugs, alcohol abuse, and so on, and talked about the difference God can make to your life and the importance of making good choices. And just after that, they split us up into small groups. Two stories of men who had done time in prison because of their crimes, been radically transformed by Jesus, are now speaking about love and mercy and forgiveness and grace. Completely transformed, but they split us up into groups to have a discussion with the students. And we didn't quite have enough leaders, so there were about 20 teenagers sitting on the floor with one leader. And as you know, it doesn't lead to very good conversation. And one of the girls, one of the first things she said to me was this: well, what's God ever done for me? Why should I listen to him? I thought, this is not going to end well. What's God ever done for me? Why should I listen to him? You could tell she was bitter and she was angry. I had to think, I wonder what she's been through. I wonder maybe what abuse she's been through. I wonder what her family life is like. I wonder who has hurt her and that she is so angry with the God. And the thing that went in my mind as she asked that question, as I considered how I would reply, was this, that I pictured Jesus. What's he ever done for me? And I pictured Jesus being born as a child, leaving heaven to come to earth. I pictured Jesus growing up. I pictured Jesus loving the poor. I pictured Jesus healing the sick. I pictured Jesus being rejected and persecuted by the religious people. I pictured Jesus ultimately offering forgiveness to those who persecuted him. I pictured Jesus hanging up on a cross, dying for my sins. I pictured Jesus raised from the dead on the third day, and then he revolutionized the lives of those disciples. I pictured Jesus through his life. And all of them very quickly, right? I didn't have a long time to think about all of that. And then I said, you know, God loves you so deeply that he sent Christ to die for you on a cross. And then they just sort of started chatting again. And I was trying to get a connection with somebody in that group of 20, where there might be a spark of spiritual life, of genuine interest. And then one girl just to the right, I saw her and I spotted her, and she was watching and she was listening to everything I had to say. Then the bell rang and everyone rushed out of that place. But for a lot of people, maybe you're asking that question here tonight, what's God ever done for me? And it's a pretty simple message tonight. You know, I won't keep you here all night. But it's summed up in that verse, John 3:16, the words of hope. And you've seen them... We go to the next one there. Next one. Great. You may have seen them on football fields. People write John 3:16 everywhere. Why is that? Because it encapsulates the good news of God's love for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And four things it tells us. Number one, that God loves us deeply. Friends, I became a Christian at the age of 14. I didn't grow up in a religious family. We didn't have a Bible in the home. We would go to church from time to time, but none of us were genuine about knowing and following God until I went to a youth group. For my group, it was in a school classroom, not in a church. I wasn't allowed to go to a church to study the Bible. And we learnt from the Bible what it meant to have a relationship with God, that God loved us deeply. And when I discovered that God loved me and I needed his forgiveness and he offered his forgiveness and I received him, it changed my life. I was 14 and a half years of age, the same age that a lot of you are. God loved me. He cared for me so much so that he looked at my sin and despite my sin, still loved me. I was one of those good kids. Maybe you're like me. I was good at school. I was good at sport. I was respectful to my parents. I didn't disobey them and I didn't disobey my teachers. Anyone good like me? No, no one's putting their hands. But the problem for all you good people out there who are generally good students, respectful to your parents, your problem is this. That was my problem. You think you're good enough for God. You think if there is a heaven, God's going to let you in just because you're good. You get good grades. You're good at sport. Everyone likes you. You don't get into heaven that way, I discovered. As I read the Bible, I realized that I too was a sinner who fell short of God's standards. The Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And when I faced that reality, that truth, I was impressed that God would still love me. C.J. Mahaney is an American speaker, and he has an interesting conversation when he goes into coffee shops. It goes like this. He always likes to talk about God and God's love, so he starts the conversation like this. You go in to order your coffee, and the young guy behind the counter says, "Hi, how are you?" And he says, "Better than I deserve." The young guy's going, "What? Coffee? I mean, I just asked you how you are." He said, "I'm better than I deserve." I said, "What are you talking about? You're better than you deserve. You're a decent guy. You seem respectable. You've got a good job. You work hard." And he said, "The guy was trying to convince me I wasn't that bad." And then he said to me, he said, "Have you killed anybody?" I said, "No, I haven't killed anybody." "Well, what do you mean better than you deserve?" Then he said, then I explained to him that I was a sinner. I used to do drugs and I used to abuse alcohol. I used to sleep around and I used to do all these things. And I didn't deserve the love of God. I didn't deserve any of that. And it's all grace. This is amazing grace that we sang at the beginning. It's all grace. God invited me into his family. I have a better life than I deserve, he said. He said, one of the ladies next to him turned around and said, "Man, I'd recommend decaf, right?" It's a quite intense conversation over coffee, right? And then he said, almost in tears, said to this young guy behind the counter, "You know, I'm a sinner and I need a saviour. I'm living a beautiful life, but better than I deserve." Friends, we see sin everywhere. We see it in domestic abuse, in marriages, in alcohol abuse, in gambling addictions, in drugs and violence and rape and murder and selfishness and pride and gossip and peer pressure and bullying and pornography and adultery. We see it everywhere. Sin destroys relationships with God and with each other. And I am absolutely amazed that God loves us. Because he loves us, he gave us something. Love always gives. Love is not about taking and taking off others, but love is about giving. Love is about sacrificing. And he gave us his one and only son, the Bible says. You see, Jesus could have stayed in heaven, but God says, "No, no, I love you so much. I will send my son into the world to live a perfect life, to live a perfect death, to rise from the dead, to offer forgiveness and new life to sinners who turn back and receive my forgiveness." There was this terrible tragedy in the United States in 2012. Some of you will remember it. It was a Sandy Hook elementary school shooting. 20-year-old Adam Lanza fatally shot 20 children between the ages of 6 and 7, and 6 adult staff members as well. Prior to driving to the school, he had shot and killed his own mother, and then as the responders came to get him, he shot himself. But we found out as part of that story that as he started to shoot, the principals and some of the teachers did all they could to protect the children and save some of them. They got in the way. They took the bullet for the sake of that other person. True love takes the bullet. True love sacrifices. True love lays down your life for others. But I want to tell you how Jesus' love is different to that. It's not as if Jesus just turned up to earth and went, oh, they killed me. That was a surprise. No, no, Jesus came for the very purpose of dying on the cross for you and for me. Jesus knows your name. He knows who you are. He knows when you were going to be born, where you're going to be born. And he came dying on a cross so you could be reconciled to God. That plan was from before the creation of the world, the Bible says. The Bible says, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you back to God. God loves, God gives. And at another baptismal service, similar to this one, there was a Chinese woman about to be baptized, and a new believer, and the pastor asked her a couple of questions just to confirm her faith. Before going up in front of the church, he said, listen, let me just check some things with you. Did Jesus have any sin? Just want to make sure she understood that Jesus was perfect and without sin. And she said, oh yes, he had sin. He went, hold on now. Let me just ask you that question again. Maybe you misunderstood me. Did Jesus have any sin? And she said, oh well, he did have sin. To which he went to correct her, and she said, no, he had my sin. He was perfect, but he had my sin upon himself on that cross. God loves, God gives, that whoever believes will not perish but have eternal life. I love that word, whoever. Sometimes people say to me, listen, if I come to church, the building's going to fall over, right? If I come to church, or they've said to me, you just don't know what I've done in my life. There's no way God would ever forgive me. Whoever believes. I mentioned guys who have spent time in prison. I mentioned good people like me who thought we didn't need God. From prison to goodness, we all need God's forgiveness. The clean-cut guys need forgiveness. The rebels need forgiveness. The troublesome kids, Zach, need forgiveness. He's telling us about his life. And we all have a story. We're all different. And we all need forgiveness. But the good news is, whoever you are, if you believe in Christ, trust in him, turn from your sins, you can be forgiven. He invites Ben Adams to believe. He invites Erin McDonough to believe. He invites Zach Sandstrom to believe. He invites Lincoln Young to believe. He invites you and me to believe in him. Let me say, male or female, young or old, rich or poor, white or black, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, you are all welcome to come to Jesus. Forgiveness and transformation is possible to all. Jesus did not die on the cross just for some so-called good people somewhere in the world. There aren't any. All have sinned and fallen short of God's standards, and he died for us. And finally, if you do that, you will live. You'll live an abundant life now, and you will live for eternity with Christ. Jesus did not stay dead and buried. If you've never checked out that evidence, come and see me afterwards. Love to give you some resources. It's in the evidence that on the third day Christ rose from the dead. The tomb was empty. The early disciples saw him, were freaked out when they saw him resurrected. It changed scared men into passionate evangelists and missionaries throughout that known world. It transformed the known world, because they had seen a resurrected Jesus alive. And this Jesus says, when you come to him and believe in him, you can have eternal life. Friends, the good news is that some people die ready. I went to a funeral for a 23-year-old on Monday, born at 24 weeks, had a lot of difficulties in her early years. With all the extra help she needed at 23, she passed away while in hospital. Being treated for a number of matters, something went wrong in her treatment, and she passed away at 23. But she died ready. She loved Christ, had found forgiveness in Christ, celebrated her relationship with Christ. Some don't die ready, and some die unforgiven. Don't die unforgiven. You've heard tonight about God's love and God's forgiveness. You can be ready to face eternity by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. He loves, he gave, whoever believes will live. Let me conclude, because it takes a step of faith, doesn't it? You can know all of that and think, well, I'm not too sure, not too sure. I had a guy who said to me a while ago, yes, you have convinced me from the evidence that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. I said, well, are you ready to become a Christian? He said, no, no, I still want to live my own way. How crazy can it be that you're convinced of the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and still reject him? By the grace of God, he has now become a Christian. In fact, he was the father of that 23-year-old girl whose funeral I went to last Monday. 10 years ago, he said, I'm convinced, but I don't want to give my life to Jesus. Now he's given his life to Jesus, and it makes all the difference for him. But you've got to take a step of faith and trust in him. And these four people have made that step. And for me, let me tell you, I was on a camp. I was a leader. We had some teenagers again. And the leader, the main leader, said, we're going to go abseiling. Anyone ever been abseiling? Crazy people, right? She said, we're going to go abseiling. She's got all these harnesses and so on. And have you ever done this before? I said, never done it before. It's okay. We just tie up this rope to this tree and we're standing on the edge of a cliff. I'm looking over the cliff. And she wants me to go down there, right? They want me to... I'm happy to go down the track and walk around. Well, no, we're up here. It's okay, it's safe. Trust me, she says. You put the harness on, they tie you up with a rope. I would never do it, I always tie it up the wrong way. But they tied it up for me. I've got the rope. You've got to do this. And then you've got to go backwards. So I'm walking to this cliff going backwards, right? And there's a tree. I'm looking at her, smiling at me. She said, you're okay. I'm not okay. You want me to go to 90 degrees the other direction and walk down a cliff? How can you say I'm okay? Right? And I'm taking a step back. If anyone ever talks about jumping and bouncing and walls in the same sentence, don't listen to them. Well, how do I keep from crashing if I get over the side and I take my steps and I lean back and I start going down and I know I have to jump out and come back and jump out? I said, what stops me from crashing into the wall and down to the bottom? Said, my associate's at the bottom holding the rope. Said, we got a rope here. She holds it tight. And that's part of the way in which they protect you, right? If you go a little bit off, they just tighten it so you come down safely. But I look down, and who's holding the rope? Some little skinny kid. Right? I'm going... She's smiling at me up at the top. I'm walking back. Some skinny kid's holding some rope. You're fine. You're safe. Just trust her. Do you have any valuables, they ask, on you? Just my life. Slowly, I come back. And I'm not good with heights. What am I doing up on the top of a cliff walking backwards? Trust me. And to my surprise, I walked, I bounced, and I made it safely to the bottom, and I went back up, and I tried again, I went back up, and I came down two or three times. Sometimes coming to Jesus is just like that. You think, it seems good, it seems right, he's trustworthy, his death, his resurrection. Will I go over the cliff? Will I go over the edge? See, there's not a skinny kid at the bottom of that cliff holding your rope. Jesus is holding the rope of your life. It is safe, it is secure, it is immovable, and he will protect you, and he will lead you, and he will guide you through whatever you go through. The one holding the rope of your life is Jesus. You can trust him. God loves, he gives. Whoever believes will have eternal life. It is my prayer that you would trust him. And if this is new for you today, and maybe you've been in the youth group coming and listening, and you've heard their other testimonies, and you know, maybe as a young person, I need to take that step of faith. Ask Jesus to forgive you. Ask him to be your Lord and your Master and become a Christian and tell your leaders afterwards. I'm going to pray in a moment, just a prayer like that. If you'd like to pray it, to ask Jesus to come into your life, to forgive you, making you new, you can do that. And Jesus promises when you sincerely make that decision, he forgives you, he makes you a child of God, he fills you with the Holy Spirit, and you start a new life for him. But you don't have to be a teenager, you can be a parent, you can be a friend who's come tonight. If this message seems true to you, or even if you want to discover it further, come talk to us later. But if you think, I know enough about this, you too can start that relationship with God. Let me pray and give you that opportunity tonight. Lord God, we thank you that you love us deeply, and you prove that by sending Jesus to die for us on the cross. Thank you for the promise of eternal life for whoever believes in him. Lord, I pray for people who are ready to make that step tonight, a step of faith, a step of repentance, a step of commitment to Jesus, that you would help them right now to make that decision. And if you wanted to make that decision, you can pray these words after me in your own heart to God. God, thank you that you love me. Please forgive me of my sins and failures. I want to be one of your children. Help me to put my trust in you and to let you be my king and leader from this day on. Thank you for forgiveness and new life. Lead me, I pray, from this moment on. Amen.